Well, good morning. Are you kidding me? Look at this room. Yeah, this is pretty cool. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, give applause. This is great. We're all excited that today is baseball's opening day, aren't we? Yeah. No, we are excited because as frustrating as it may have been for some of you to find a seat or your seat or maybe even a parking lot, these are great problems. Yeah, these are great problems. And believe me, we were back there watching, evaluating, and we had to add some seats back here. So back row back there, props to you guys. You guys came late, but but props to you. I know them, at least the two that acknowledged me. So you are here. Amen. Well, this is awesome. When the decision was made that we think we should go to one service for a while, and it's for a while because we hope that, as new people come and they see a full room and they're excited about what the potential exists here at this place, that, we're going to need another service eventually. And we look forward to that. That's great. Not that we're looking forward to doing it next week, although, the church growth experts would say, hey, if you're at a certain capacity in the room, go to a second service, and we appear to already be there. So next week, this is great. We have more chairs to set out. We have plenty of adjustments that we can make, but this is awesome. And so it's a testament to you guys. And as I was telling some of the elders back there, as I was experiencing worship with you and just watching people look for seats and stuff, and I said, something's amiss because it doesn't seem like first hour and second hour numbers add up to what's in the room at the moment. So who knows what God is doing? I just love when God does stuff, and I don't need to know everything. And I let you know that all the time. I don't need to know everything because I don't. But this is great. So we're going to move on. I mean, this is incredible. We're finishing up a series. It was the Easter series, and it was. And this is kind of weird. I'm not used to people in the front row. Yeah, and so just get you are in the splash zone. So anything can happen. I get pretty excited and things. Yeah, so. Maybe we'll get some ponchos made or some umbrellas, and yeah, this is good. And I told my friend Rick here that I was going to need a volunteer and call him up here, so I may or may not be kidding, who knows, he'll find out. Well, this idea of become, that we're really focusing on discipleship, on what it means to be a follower of Christ, because it means something for us as individuals, but if we as the individual take this discipleship seriously, it means something for the community, the church community. It means something for the community in which the church finds itself. It means something for, that begins to percolate out beyond ourselves. And believe me, this idea to go from two services to one for a while is very much a discipleship idea. It's very much to encourage us to get to know each other. What I saw as I was watching people standing outside with Darren and just kind of greeting people, but I saw people just standing around talking. Some of you are first, I was here when Greg kind of, hey, you table people in first, second hour group. I was in the building for that. And, just seeing us all interact as one body, and that's important. That is so important, and that's kind of the theme I want to hover around this morning. This idea of one, and we're gonna unpack it more even in the series that's following. We're gonna begin this next week where we just become one, and this is all based on this idea of unity and becoming one. Because trust me, if we become one, and we are rallied around a purpose, we're rallied around a doctrine, we're rallied around doing the right things for the right reasons, because out of obedience, just out of sheer love for God and love of others, there's no stopping what a church can do. There really isn't. And I hope and pray that this is just the beginning of something that God wants to do and will do as a result of this body of believers. And so, if you had the opportunity to stand up here and see what I see hope, I see excitement, I see life. This is great. I mean, it almost brings me to tears because for 17 years I've been on staff here, and this is incredible. And so thank you for making a dream come true. Yeah, okay. So yeah, all right, whatever. That was all made up and ad-libbed, so thank you. That was very generous. Okay, so let's just go ahead and get started. What are we here to do today? So in 2002, a movie came out that now in my home hits really, really close to home in a way. And this movie is called Drumline. Anyone seen it, Drumline? Okay. The movie takes place, kind of all over, but in the South. And there's a particular college, university marching band that is kind of the star of the movie, so to speak. Nick Cannon stars as a young man named, I forgot his name, Devin Miles. And Orlando Jones is the band director, Dr. Lee. Now, Nick Cannon's character, Devin Miles, is very, very talented in high school. Very talented. He's this university, you know, they go and they follow him and they offer him a scholarship. And he's very, very happy about the opportunities that presents himself to go to this university. Now, when he gets there, he realizes that Dr. Lee is more by the book, he's more traditional, he very much cares about the music, cares about the band, and Devin Miles' character, Nick Cannon's character, is very individualistic. He's very, very cocky, he's very confident in his own ability, he knows what he brings to the table, and he was pursued by the university, and so he showed up figuring, man, I don't have to work very hard to do anything here. They came and pursued me, I'm a gift to the university. And Dr. Lee, Orlando Jones' character, kind of had to combat that. And there was a line in that movie that really kind of, it allowed me to have a conversation with my own kids, because when my daughter, who's my oldest, entered into high school, she joined the band. And now her brother, who is in high school, has followed that lead, and so we're band parents. And so I was able to have this conversation. And Dr. Lee said in the movie, when he's combating the individualistic attitude of Devin Miles, the Nick Cannon's character, he said, "One band, one sound." Remember that? Maybe you don't, but I'm reminding you. One band, one sound. I know band kids in the room. If you're band members, your band teachers, like, did you ever use that? We actually have a, what were you? What was your job? You stood up there and did this. What was your job? Yeah, drum major. Yeah, drum major. Jared over here, drum major. Yeah. It's so cool having youth in the room. Man, you can pick on them. Yeah. So poor Jared sits in the front row, and he gets called out. So we have a drum major in there. Did you ever use that? One band? You should use that. Well, you're done. Yeah. Yeah, maybe in your next life. Okay, so one band, one sound. I got to have that conversation with my kids, because, you know, it's weird, and I've been in bands before, and even, you know, those up here, you know, what you hear in your ears or whatever band context, you don't get to hear the whole thing. You maybe hear your section or you hear your part, and so you never really get to hear the whole thing, which is kind of a bummer for those that are in the band, especially if the band is really, really good. What's important is what you do as an individual impacts the sound of the whole thing. And that's where I had to encourage my kids. Like, look, it is a bummer that you don't get to hear the whole thing, but you must take seriously and be disciplined and put the time into practice and into rehearse, because if you don't take your individual part seriously, it impacts the one sound. It impacts the band. Did you guys ever have those conversations? Yes, I would think so. And if not, you should. Okay. You're welcome, Jared. This is all for Jared. You're welcome. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I mean, we're not here to talk about drums. We're not here to talk about bands. We're here to talk about Christ. We're here to talk about us and Christ. And so Ephesians chapter 2. And while you're looking for Ephesians chapter 2, this is what I want to accomplish this morning in our time together. And I do need to get used to a different time up here on the clock, because I'm looking, what time should we be ending? I guess I should have thought. So we're going to end around 1 o'clock. That's good, right? Okay. Okay. I want to address maybe how some people look at attending or being a part of a church. The theme today is really becoming connected. My hope and my goal and my prayer and that of the prayers of the elders and the staff who have been, we've been planning this and looking forward to this day for this reason, is that through this, today and in the weeks to come, that we would become connected to one another. We would become connected. That we would no longer seem to be a group of disconnected parts who sat in the same room together, but we would get connected and become something incredible. And that's not going to happen in 1 week. I understand that. But I do want to address maybe some misguided views of the local church. And maybe some of you have these, maybe some of you don't. There are those who think in terms of attending church, but not being the church. Church is just something I go to. If my schedule allows, I go. If my alarm wakes me up, I go. If it's not raining, I go. You know, if the wind's not blowing, I go. It's just, if I'm not there, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to miss me. It's unimportant if I'm there or not. So there are those who think just in terms of it's just something that I go to if it fits my schedule. If there's nothing better to do and I happen to be up anyways, I'll go. I'll go put my 1.4 Sundays in a month. There are also those who choose a church based on a consumer mentality. What's in it for me? Are you going to make me feel good about myself if I go to that particular church? Are you going to say the things? Am I going to hear the things that I want to hear? Not the things that I need to hear, but that I want to hear. And, I made a decision a few years ago, as difficult as it was, God and I were having some conversations together, and he said, look, man, God uses that terminology, look, man, you need to just stay true to my word. Don't deviate from that. And if it means discomfort, it means discomfort. Deal with it. Because the people need to be told what they need to be told, not what they want to be told. Okay? And I know that sounds like I'm pushing. It's not that I want to tell you these. I'm just, hey, it's there, right? It's so important that I have a verse to back up anything that I say. I don't want to preach my opinions. I do that at home. That is not my role here. My role here is to be true to God's word and to lead us all to obedience to God's word. And part of that is being connected. So I want to challenge these ideas of just attending church versus being the church. I want to challenge the idea that I show up to church with the what's in it for me mentality. And let me tell you, just by you being here today and putting up with the change and putting up with the, it was your seat, your, you know, I'm seeing some familiar faces that I'm used to looking at over here, and now you're over here. And vice versa. And, you know, that's stressful, right? Right, Rick? That's stressful. Rick was a table guy over here. He moved to the back row, and now I'm calling him out in front of about 400 people. Rick, turn around and say hello to everybody. Yeah, see? Yeah. All right. We'll never see Rick again. So I want to challenge the way that we all see church. Is it just something that you attend, like a theater, or maybe a baseball game, or a band event if you're a band parent? Is it something that you and or your family are committed to? Does it matter if you even come? I mean, does it impact your day? Does the church really add any value or purpose to your life? And this is really what I would hope that we would leave here today pondering this, is being a part of the church, does that commitment inform all your other commitments? Or is it just another one of those commitments that you might participate in if your schedule allows? Because I want to suggest to you that if you make, look, the commitment's to Christ, but what is the church? It's the body of Christ. Okay, so I'm not preaching love the church here, although if we don't love the church, then we really can't love Christ, because we are the expression of the body of Christ. You really can't separate the two. And so I want to suggest to you that committing to being a part of the church, not just attending it, but being a part of it, being a part of its life blood. You know, we back here at 9:20, we prayed with, I don't know, there's probably what, 70 volunteers, 50 volunteers? I don't know, 300? I don't know. I'm bad at estimating. But there are a bunch of volunteers. And we prayed for you. We prayed for them. We prayed for the day. Because those people, and those of you who are going to be serving next week, and maybe you're going to be here at 9:20, and we'll be praying with you next week. But being a part of the lifeblood of the church, I suggest to you that if we can get that mentality from, it's just something I go to if I think about it or if I want to, versus I have to be there because I'm incomplete if I'm not there and the body is incomplete if I'm not there. I want to suggest to you that if we can get us to that mentality where, man, this is the commitment that informs all the other commitments, it will impact your life. It will absolutely impact your life. One of the men that Jesus entrusted with his ministry had quite a bit to say about the church. The Apostle Paul, many of his letters in the New Testament are written to two churches. They're written about church life, dealing with disagreements and problems in the church, or encouraging the church, or even calling out the Church of Galatians. He really called them out. And so the Apostle Paul had a lot to say about the church. And we're going to look at some of his words at the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians, Ephesians 2, and see what he says about church, about that church, and what we take from it. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. Paul says this. He says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit." Okay, so these verses here are all about unity, unity of the church. In fact, the first word of the section that we read, he says, "consequently" in the NIV, so the version that I read, "consequently." It's referring back to the argument that he just made in the earlier parts of chapter 2, where he articulates that the Jew and the Gentile, the Jew were God's people, the Jewish Israelites were God's people, the Gentiles were those of the nations that were not included in what God was doing. They did not have that covenant relationship with God until the death of Christ, okay? And so what Paul articulated before then is, look, Jew, Gentile, you're now one. So that special relationship that you Israelites had with God, God now extends to the non-Jew. So Jew, deal with it. You're one. Gentile, deal with it. You're one. You may have been at odds together. You may have felt like you were an insider and the Gentiles, you were on the outside. But now you are one, which means Jew and Gentile now are co-heirs with Christ. They're brothers. They're sisters in Christ. They are one. And so what Paul says then is, consequently, because of that, because now God has made through Christ the two one, and the two would be the Jew and the Gentile, is now one. There are some ramifications to that. And that's what Paul is articulating here. And now he uses three metaphors to build up this idea of unity, this oneness. He uses the metaphor of the kingdom. He uses the metaphor of a household. And he uses the metaphor of a temple. Now quickly, go ahead and let's leave those up for a minute so we make sure we get those down. But as far as the kingdom is concerned, God's kingdom is wherever God reigns. Wherever God reigns. And so that can be over a nation or a state like it was in the Old Testament. Or that can be over an individual reigning in the hearts and minds of somebody, which is how we experience the kingdom now. God doesn't reign. Let's face it. God reigns over the earth, right? He's sovereign. He's the creator of it. It's his. He reigns over it all. But through faith in Jesus now, we enter into that kingdom of God's reign. And then we are surrendering the reign of our own lives to Christ. And so by virtue of doing that, through faith in Jesus, we are then in the kingdom. Okay? He uses also the metaphor of household. We're going to skip that for a minute. And quickly, he uses the metaphor of a temple. The Old Testament, we learn about how the temple was important. That's where God dwelled. God dwelled amongst his people in the temple. The temple came down through Christ now, and through Christ and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that we now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. God resides with us and in us and through us. There is no locale now where God's presence exists. It's wherever we are as the church, wherever we are as individuals. And so he uses those three metaphors. I want to go back to the household because that's the one that I want to look at this morning. He says of all these metaphors, what God is doing, it's all built on the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, which is why it's important for me in this role to make sure that we just stick to God's word, because that's what the church was built on. That's what God, Jesus said in Peter to Peter in Matthew 16:16, where he said to Peter, he says, look, upon your confession that I am the Son of the living God, that is the rock upon which my church will be built. That belief that I am the Son of the living God, upon that the church will be built, upon that confession. And he said, of that church, nothing can stop it, not even the gate of Hades. Hades, death itself, could not stop the church. And we're thousands of years later, and the church is still alive and well, is it not? Sure, there have been local expressions of the body of Christ that have closed down, but universally, the church is alive and well. It's got some challenges. It's got some challenges locally in our community, and we are doing prayerfully doing everything that we can to try and combat those challenges and encourage people to be a part of the local church. See, without unity, the church cannot live up to the metaphors used. Without unity, we can't be a kingdom. We can't be a temple. We can't be a household. Just without unity, those things don't stand. They just don't stand. And so today, I want to focus on the household metaphor because it informs our move. It really does inform our move to go from two services to one. And if I can steal from Drumline, you know, one band, one sound, one church, one purpose. One church, one purpose. And we're really going to unpack this more in the weeks to come. Write this down. We are meant to be connected. This is what Paul is telling us when we are a household. We are meant to be connected. You know, we can use that word household as also family. But we are meant to be connected. Paul says this, look, you are now, the two are one, and you are now fellow citizens with God's people. You are members of God's household, God's family. So when we simply attend church, quote unquote, if that's all we do is just attend church because our schedule is open, we're merely a bunch of disconnected people sitting next to one another, listening to musicians play a few songs and a speaker present a message. And Paul is implying that there is much more to church than simply sitting in a chair. In fact, his implication is, and we have said this oftentimes, we are the church. We don't attend church. You are the church. We are the church. We are a bunch of unique people. Some of us incredibly unique, right? You willing to own? Okay. Well, we are a bunch of unique people. We have unique experiences. We come from unique backgrounds. We have unique stories and gifts and talents.